Let's give the Lord thanks for his goodness and mercy. Lord, we worship you. God, in your name, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name, Jesus. I exalt you. I magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. A lot of what I'm going to talk about today is just introductory as to what I have in mind for this particular session and kind of a format that we'll be following most of the time. And this is not a preaching session. It is a teaching session. Consequently, although I'll be teaching as much as I can't hardly teach and preach both back to back anymore. I can if I have to, but if I don't have to, I usually got too many others that do a good job I can pass it off to. But what we're going to be doing is having certain subjects that we're going to cover, and some of them are for the purpose of teaching Bible truths. Others are, all of it's Bible truth, but we'll have subjects that will help you in your life, both spiritual and natural, because the natural life affects the spiritual life and vice versa. And you've heard the saying, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, you have the other extreme. Some people are so worldly minded that they're no heavenly good. What we're going to attempt to do is to help all of us become stronger in our faith and in our walk with God. And this gives us an opportunity to see ourselves by the word of the Lord, looking into that mirror of God's word and seeing ourselves, and then realizing there are some areas that we need to make some adjustments on. And what's very, very necessary and very, very important is that we come into this with an open heart and an open mind. I don't know about you, but there's nothing in the world that's not even near as important to me as being saved. That's the number one thing. Everything else lines up behind it. But to me, these sessions are going to be invaluable, and we'll put a lot of work into them. And whether I'm teaching or someone else is teaching, I've instructed those that I use from time to time that I will be assigning them a subject and they're to stay on it, because we want some continuity. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. Another thing we'll be doing is using visuals and handouts. And of course, we have the ability to post it, and you can download it on a device and have it that way. Let's turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and the first three verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. And we want to go down through some things here that I think will help us today. Amen. I've got to watch my time. Seems to me like time passes faster on me when I'm teaching than when I'm preaching. So I have to watch it, or I can go way over an hour. How many of you know that to be true? That's all right. I didn't ask for sure. You haven't raised your hands on nothing else, so don't raise them now. If you think it's bad now, you should have been around when I first started preaching. 15 minutes. All right, let's read together here. Watch as I read. Follow along with me. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. How do you like the way that sounds? Those that have achieved or obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine plan, his divine power hath given unto us all things, notice this carefully if you would, that pertain unto life and godliness. So we're looking at two different things here. Godliness has to do with holiness, has to do with our conduct, has to do with our attitude, our spirit, and many, many facets of our life. And this other is talking about life. It's talking, it's kind of making a separation between our human life, the things that all of us have to be concerned about, food, housing, you know, clothing, and other necessities. And so his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, most people don't even know how to take advantage of living just as a human being. They don't even know how to enjoy life. And yet everything we need to know about life and about godliness has been given to us by the divine power, which is God, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The knowledge of him, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. And he knows everything that there is to know about everything there is to know anything about. And so when you're looking for answers, we find our answers in Jesus Christ, who is also the Word. According to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. So you can't separate the person of Jesus Christ from the essence of what he is, which is the living Word of God. So everything that we need to experience a full natural life and a full, complete spiritual life is found in the Word of the Lord. There's an answer for you for every question you could ask concerning these two subjects. There is an answer in the Word of the Lord. And so when your natural life is ordered according to God's Word, there is no conflict with your spiritual life. Now, this is a very important point. Let me pause and explain just a little bit what I'm saying. When you bring your natural life into alignment with your spiritual life, which is according to the Word of God, there should not be any conflicts. If there is, something either in your natural life or your approach to your spiritual life has missed the mark. You're going to have to back up and discover what it is and fix it so that you can have harmonious interaction between your spiritual life and your natural life. Amen. And so really what all this is about when we get into it is just pleasing the Lord instead of pleasing our own flesh. Okay. Now the Bible says all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So when we understand all these things that pertain unto life and godliness, when we dig into the Word of God, when we find and discover these great truths, and then we get a revelation of it, and then we make an application of it, we begin to experience the worth of it, what it does for us to help us to be a better person. And it actually helps us to live a balanced life. How many of you know that being in balance is a really kind of a central theme throughout the Bible? You know, God doesn't like extremes when it comes to our attitude, our conduct, our thinking, our emotions, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. People that are on this end that don't react or respond to anything, they need to pull it up this direction. Those that go overboard out here and do crazy things, I could tell you some of the crazy things I've seen and witnessed people doing through the years in their zeal, unguided, uncontrolled, unchecked zeal for the things of God, but they did it without any wisdom. And so all of us have areas that we tend to go too far in. And some of us have areas that we tend to not go far enough. I have learned what people have struggled with for many generations, and that is this. It's really difficult to be as tough on your grandkids as it was on your kids. And the only solace I take in that is it's not my responsibility to raise the grandkids. It's their mom and dad's responsibility. So they want to, I'll shove it back to them if they say, like my son used to tell me, Daddy, you didn't even think about letting us do that when we were that age. And I said, Gary, My responsibility was to raise you and your two sisters, and I've done that. Now it's your responsibility to raise these kids, and I get to enjoy them. Like you've heard said, and I believe in it with all my heart, that's God's way of rewarding us for not choking our children when they were that age. So that's the way it works. All right, so we're talking about balance. Now, you know, do you have a balance in your checkbook this month? What kind of balance do you have as far as your mobility, walking from one place, moving about, whatever? You can be out of balance there. It's not really talking about either of those things, but we're talking about having balance in our life. You know, we don't go too far, but we go far enough. Okay? We are as careful as we can be to do what's right and not let ourselves off easy or our family off easy. Amen. Because, look, if you're too easy on your flesh and even your own flesh and blood, hey, it's not going to turn out the way you want it to. We got to find that place, that place. Balance is important with God and should be to every one of us. Okay, the word balance is talking about equal distribution of weight, an amount. It also can mean mental steadiness or emotional stability. People can be mentally unbalanced. And that's just one of many other things that can get out of balance in our life. You think about, a washing machine, and you're washing some heavy towels and some other things in there, and it starts spinning. You hear, when you hear that sound, run in there as quick as you can and turn it off before you do anything else. Then you can try to straighten it out and start again, but hang around for a little bit, make sure. I know, because I've been having to do a lot of that here lately. Thank God. Anyway. I'm a preacher, not a house husband. Although I've done a pretty good job having a honey. Come on, look at everybody and smile. Okay, so balance. When something gets out of balance in your life, everything is messed up. Everything. And so what we want to seek for as we go through these lessons, we want to through the Word of God, bring balance into our life, into our home, into our relationships with friends, our job, whatever we're involved in. We want it to be a balanced situation. Okay, now what about spiritual balance? You know what that produces? When you get balanced out spiritually, it's going to produce peace. It's going to produce tranquility. It's going to produce spiritual growth in you when you get spiritually balanced. Now, I wish going forward we'll have some graphics and different things to show you, but I think if you'll just listen to me a moment and my description, you can see this mentally. I'm sure most of you have seen some version of this or another, but the old balance that goes back centuries, goes back millenniums, had to do with the bar that so long, it could be whatever length they wanted to make it. It could be out of wood, it could be out of some kind of metal, but it had to be stout and strong. And on each end, there's a place for some kind of a basket to hang from a rope or chain. And on one side, they put a weight that was of a known weight, a known, let's say, 5 pounds, and put it there. And then on the other side, they're trying to measure out 5 pounds of flour, 5 pounds of cornmeal, 5 pounds of beef, or whatever it might be. They add to and take away until this thing, well, I forgot one important thing, and that's right in the center. There's a fulcrum that holds this up. And so, whichever side is the heaviest, it's out of balance. And that side goes down, the other side goes up. How many of you have seen that? Or any kind of version similar to that? And you know, you look into the word of the Lord, and the night that God declared judgment upon Belshazzar, do you remember what the writing on the wall said? Many, many tickle you farsen. Which being interpreted is, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting or lacking. Now that's a terrible thing. And Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to reward Daniel. He wanted to do this and that and something else. It was too late. It was too late. Because that very night, the Medes and Persians came in and took over that kingdom and destroyed Belshazzar. He had gone past his last opportunity to be saved. He had crossed a line when he brought in those sacred vessels. And he began to drink wine and give honor to various heathen deities that they worshiped. And God said, "That's, you've gone too far." And what balances was he weighed in? He was weighed in the balances of heaven, the balances that are based upon the word of God and spiritual principles and concepts. And when he was put in, I don't care how great a king he was or how big his kingdom was or how much riches that he had in the area that really mattered, his spiritual life, it went as the weight of what he's supposed to be came down as far as it could go the other way. Can you get a picture of that? I don't ever want to get so out of balance that it's detrimental to my spiritual eternity. I want to be saved, don't you? And so this balance that we're after is achieved when this side equals this side. And we do that by removing or adding weight. What does it say in Hebrews? Let's see, 12 and 1. Talks about laying aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. You know, every one of us have inclinations toward different things. Some of them, you know, has to do with maybe preference of what you eat, what your taste. You have different preferences than someone else. But what I'm talking about here is when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to sinful things, I have absolutely no desire or inclination toward smoking in any way. I've never touched it. I refuse it. When I was a little kid, I've even said to adults when I was a little kid, that's stupid for you to be smoking that stuff. That's before everybody knew it was going to kill you. But it just didn't seem right to me. There's just nothing about that's ever attracted me. I've never been attracted to alcohol. As far as I know, not to my knowledge, unless somebody slipped something on me, I've never had a taste of any kind of alcoholic beverage, period, zero, none. And guess what? I never have gone by a liquor store and get to shake it and think, I want to try some of that out. No, it doesn't appeal to me. But you know what? You're different than I am. I'm different than you are. He's different than you are. And every one of us has our own inclinations. Right? And there's some of you that are such peaceful people, peace-loving, by the grace of God I am. But it took me a while to get there. Amen. When I was a kid, if you crossed me, I'd rather fight you than argue with you. And that's a terrible way to be. And some of you can't understand that. But see, you're wound up different than I am. And I'm wound up different than you are. And so it's easy for us to look in somebody else's life and see glaring defects that we see needs to be fixed. We need to get just the same kind of, how could I put this? The same kind of scrutiny needs to be turned upon us. Ask the Lord to turn the searchlight of truth into your heart and see if there be any wicked way. See if there's anything in you that needs to be taken care of so that we can be in alignment with God's word. We can be living a life that's pleasing unto him. Okay, back to our scripture text. He said, according as his divine power, verse number 3, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How do we get that? Let's catch that next phrase. Through the knowledge of him. Who's the him it's talking about here? Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of Jesus that hath called us to glory and virtue. My, my, my. Also, in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the very last verse, it wraps up 1st Epistle of Peter, the 2nd Epistle of Peter, especially the 2nd Epistle of Peter. And it says, but grow in grace. Everybody say grace. Grace. We'll talk about that for just a little bit. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say knowledge. These are the two things. These are the two things that we must accomplish in our life is we got to grow in grace and we got to know more. We got to learn more about Jesus. We got to be better acquainted with Jesus Christ. Could somebody say amen? Amen. The more you know about Jesus, the better equipped you are to stand against the temptations of the devil and to be on fire for God and to be up and about the master's business, whatever it is that he's appointed unto you, whatever it is that he has shown you that he wants you to do. Okay, now, what's God's grace? Well, by grace are you saved, and not by works of righteousness which you've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Grace, I went through this again today and wasted my time and looked at all the various efforts that different theologians and people that translate and all use, and you could tell they're just floundering around. There's not really any set definition for the word grace that you'll find by the means that I just mentioned to you. But you know what I discovered about grace a long time ago? God's grace is God's ability that is imparted to you and I to do the will of God. And where human effort ends, grace begins. Where knowledge, I don't know how to do this. Where human knowledge ends, that's where grace begins. Amen. Grace is the most wonderful thing that God ever allowed us to partake of, because everything we receive from him is through his grace. It begins with mercy. It's not his will any should perish. And then it goes to the means that he used to accomplish his love for lost humanity. And that is, he gives us his grace. He doesn't expect you to do these things under your own strength. Aren't you glad? Amen. I know probably most of us have tried to do what's right just by our own willpower. Anybody here besides me tried that? Can I see your hand? Oh, that's the best response I've had in a long time. The ones that didn't raise your hand, you're guilty too, but we all know that. But we know you're just too tired to raise your hand. Amen. But anyway, I'm telling you, when you struggle and you slip and fall again and you repent and you cry out to God and you're really sorry, and then you turn around and do the same thing again, and it's repetitious. You know what? You need to learn about the grace of God. Amen. It's not by my human effort and ability and willpower that I can get this done, because I'm grappling with something bigger than I am, stronger than I am, much older than I am. And that is the allurement of sin, the temptation, the enticement of sin that connects with our fleshly body. Amen. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, these things are working against us. Amen. Your flesh is against you being saved. Your flesh will always vote with the devil. Don't try to say, well, it seems all right to me. I don't see anything wrong with this. Well, thank you, brother and sister devil. That is not how we determine if something is right or not. We go according to the word of God. And so, God's grace, this is my definition, but it refers to his unlimited power that is given to empower us to fulfill God's will and purpose. It's not his will that we should sin. His grace empowers us to not sin. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. I could spend a lot of time on that, but I just want to introduce you to the concept. Then this knowledge, what's it talking about, knowledge? You know, do you know who Biden is? How many of you know of him, have heard of him, have seen his picture, have heard his interesting speeches and whatever else, like all the other politicians? They all talk too much and do too little of the right thing, all of them. But anyway, we don't have time to waste good time on all of that. Goodbye, world, goodbye. But the knowledge of knowing somebody. There's people I know. I know Governor Stitt. Now, how do I know him? Because he's been to church here two times and I got to meet him. So I know everything about him, right? He might remember me. He might not. If I told him who I was, then I'm sure he'd make the connection. But a lot of people think they know Jesus, and that's just about how close they are to him. That's about the limit of what they really know about Jesus. Amen. But do you understand something? We need to get to know him like our very most personal and closest friend. That's right. Because this knowledge that is speaking of here, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says to grow in it. Get closer to him all the time. Learn more about him all the time. Don't back up. Don't give up. Amen. Because God's wants us to be very, very close to him and develop a relationship where he can assist us in doing the things that he delights in us doing. All right? Now, here's how strong Apostle Paul felt about it. He wanted to know him more than anything else in the world. And he wanted to know him in a deep relationship rather than just a casual acquaintance. And let's look on down here at Philippians 3 and verse number 8. If you could put that up on the board, please. Philippians 3 and verse number 8. Paul said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, all things, everything in his world, everything in his life, everything he'd ever accomplished up to now. He said it's a loss. It's a waste. It's not going to help me in eternity. But he said, I gave all this up. It's a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is something that means more to me than anything else this world has to offer. He said, for whom? The knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Now, remember, he used to be a pretty important guy. How many remember back when he was, really important and everybody looked up to him and respected him. And he was counted as a member of the Sanhedrin. According to history, they think he's the youngest maybe that ever served in that council. But his intelligence and his wisdom was such that they elevated him. They promoted him. He had all that standing. When he said something, everybody stood up and listened to what he had to say. But he threw all of that away when he met Jesus on the road. Amen. When that light shone down from heaven. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That's when Paul got acquainted with Jesus. Amen. And Jesus answered him, said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to keep kicking against the pricks of your conscience. Amen. Come on. I'm going to teach you some things. I want I want to be your friend. I want to be your savior. I got some great things in mind for you to do in the kingdom of God. And Paul said, I threw it all away and I counted it as loss, but it meant nothing. I've suffered the loss of all things to do, count them but waste, that I may win Christ. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can. How many of you want to be close to Jesus? You want to be close to him? Why don't we just worship him together here for just a little bit? Lord, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Oh, God, not just knowing about you, but the opportunity to get very, very close to you, to be your friend, to be called the friend of God. Oh, Lord, I worship you. I praise you. I magnify you. I exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. So this desire that Paul had superseded natural desires, and it superseded the desire for the carnal things of this world. And he said, it means nothing to me to cast it aside as worthless so that I can get to know Jesus better. Praise God. So, how do we get to know him better? We can't do it by just human effort alone. We can't set out to try to accomplish righteous works. Everybody say good works. Good works. There's a lot of people that do a lot of good works for society, for different classes of people. I see a big sign over in the Jinx area. Somebody put out there, seen it for quite a while, that they like to do things for homeless people. And they're gathering things up and passing it out to homeless people. Now look, that's a really kind thing. Somebody said, well, why are they doing that? That's crazy. No, that's very kind of them. I've never met them, but I commend them. I commend them for that. And it's very possible that that person that is helping these people like that, that maybe they suffered that sometime in their life. Or maybe they've had close loved ones that became homeless. Or maybe they're just kind-hearted people. And they just saw the plight of these folks and said, you know, I can't see them freezing in this cold weather when I've got blankets and I've got coats and I've got all kinds of things to wear to keep us warm. And so they wanted to help someone else. But do you know that? I wouldn't say that's displeasing to the Lord at all, because he cares about homeless people too. But at the same time, don't rest on those kind of works and think that's going to get you close to God or get you to heaven. Works are good. They serve a purpose. Good works do. But that's not how we have relationship with Jesus. It goes not that far, but way beyond that. In the 9th verse of Philippians 3, he said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That's referring to the Old Testament law, the commandments, and all the things connected with that, which you had to do the sacrifices, you had to do the holy days, you had to do wear certain things, and on and on and on, and things that you strive not to do. All these things you have to do in order that you can just get a little pass to stay within the lineage of the righteous lineage for one more year. Everything's on credit. Everything's on credit. 1 year ahead, 1 year ahead, 1 year ahead. You can do that 50 years in a row and miss number 51, and you're in trouble. And so Paul said, it's not about the righteousness of the law, but it's through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul desired to know him in verse number 10, 3 and 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. My. Praise God. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I'll go through anything to reach that place with him that I can attain to the resurrection of the dead and live in eternity with my Lord and Savior. Is that your desire? Is that your goal? Is that your aim? Is that your ambition? Amen. Now, backing up just a little bit, I want to pick out a few things that's mentioned here and talk about them just a little bit more. This, when Paul said he wanted to know him, he meant I want to know him closely in every facet of Jesus Christ's life. Everybody wants to be there when he passed out the loaves and the fishes, right? Sure. Everybody wants to be there when that cloud received him up into the heavens, the or Easter, whatever day of the year it was, but that morning when he arose from the dead, everybody wants to be there to observe and to share in the resurrection. But he said that's from here and over here. But he said, I want to share everything with him in between then. I want to share with him the fellowship of his suffering, which he had to die a very painful death, a very agonizing death. He had to go through that before he could be resurrection or raised from the dead. And he said, in the fellowship of his suffering. Now, you know, we have get-togethers and we eat and we fellowship. Any of y'all got any get-togethers planned today? How many of you do not have one planned? Please raise your hand. Okay, a few folks. I'm looking around to see who they are so I'll know to feel sorry for them and to do something for them. Don't throw out the leftovers. You know, when you're sick, you're not usually worried about somebody else that's sick. But I had an experience a number of years ago. And in fact, it's been about 10 years or just maybe a shade bit longer than that. But 2010 is a year that on my calendar is a year of infamy. Because that year, two of my adult children passed away 9 months apart from each other, both of them heart-related issues. And also in that year, I had a dear preacher come out from under me that turned against me and told many lies on me and turned many people against me, and all that was happening between the death of my two children. That was a heavy year. And one day I was just thinking and just meditating, and I got to thinking about the Lord and how he suffered and how he felt when Judas betrayed him, because I had some people betray me, and it hurt so bad. And anyway, I wondered how Jesus felt. It's like all of a sudden I was there and I felt the pain and the agony, and I wept and cried and wept and cried and said, oh Jesus, I can't believe that you had to bear that all by yourself and there was no one there with you to comfort you. You know, there's a certain amount of relating to people you don't even know when you find out that they're suffering similar things to what you're suffering. As you know, my wife's been dealing with her shoulder here now for quite some time. And I know there's been a couple different times she's bumped into someone or somebody waiting for physical therapy. And they get in a conversation and you know, they understand how each other feels. And unless you've had that surgery and that injury and that kind of thing, you might know a little bit about it through observation or whatever, but that's nothing like experiencing it in your own body. And so Paul, stop and think about in his journeys, his missionary journeys and all the places he went and all the things. Think about how many things this man went through. What, shipwreck thrice in the deep for many hours? That means, you know, overboard or ship broke up or something, and he's out there in the midst of a storm trying to survive. beaten by stripes many times, stoned and left for dead, cast into prison, and the list goes on and on and on. Hungry, destitute, cold, and all of these things that he went through. And he said, I wanted to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to not only know him in the power of the resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I want to know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to experience that. And he said, and all of this is if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up here. We're getting close to time. Got about 15 minutes left here. I'm going to give you a chance to ask a few questions here shortly, as long as they're on the subject that you'll understand here in just a moment. Okay, so our goal, our purpose for this class and the things that will be taught here is to help all of us achieve a balanced life. How many of you would like to see that happen in your life, in your home, in your marriage, with your children, with your parents? Amen. With your dog. Sometimes my dog and I have little disagreements, but most of the time he wins. But here, listen to me. We're going to do in-depth studies of various subjects presented in the Word of God that we all need to measure up to. We may talk about loving one another and what that means. Amen. And it's God's commandment that we love one another. And reminds me of my grandson, old brother Boston, when he was about 4 or 5 years old. And I took him with me, just me and him, because I had so many. By the time he come along, I think I already had 4 grandsons. Yeah. 3 before him. And was it 3? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. He's number 4. And so he kind of got, you know, he kind of more quieter turn than some of the others. But anyway, we left the house and we had gone about a mile and a half. And by then he had succeeded in asking me 27 questions or thereabouts. And as soon as I would answer that, he would say, why? And then explain that and why and on and on. And so anyway, this went on until I finally said, Boston, I don't want you asking me anything else for a few minutes. Just be quiet. He said, why? I said, because I said so. Now just be quiet. And he sat still for a little bit. He said, Paw, I love you. I said, why? He said, just because. I said, just because is not an answer. If you can't tell me why you love me, you don't love me. He said, well, Paw, the Bible says I have to love everybody or I'm going to go to hell. Makes you love everybody. He probably still feels that way about it if you want to ask him. But anyway, we want to learn some things, and we will take various subjects. And when I say we, I say it on purpose because I'm not going to be the only one teaching here. We've got several excellent teachers, and we'll be using them from time to time. But this is the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish, where we can look into the mirror of God's Word and not go off and forget what manner of man we was. But while we're looking in the mirror, let's go ahead and fix it. All right? While we're looking into the mirror of the Word of God, let's not postpone it. Let's just go ahead and fix it. Amen. And then sometimes we need to purge some things out of our heart. You haven't been, if you live for God for any amount of time, somebody connected to the church, and it might even been the preacher, but somebody's hurt your feelings, right? How many of you ever had somebody in church hurt your feelings? Raise your hand. Thank the Lord. Some of you have it. I hope you never experience that. But sooner or later, there's going to be somebody in your life that's going to hurt your feelings. And this is the last place on earth you would expect for that to happen. That can be very disconcerting and very hurtful and puzzling and confusing. And that can easily turn into a little seed of bitterness being planted. And you have a little ought against your brother or your sister. And after a while, that thing can grow until you lose your relationship with the Lord. It's like it's just put on hold and you just can't break through anymore. You never break through and really get a blessing. It's been a long, long time since you've had a renewing of the Holy Ghost, because there's things that have kind of stopped the flow of the presence of God, that have dammed it up. And there you are struggling with feelings and just wanting to, you know what, I'm sick of all this. That's why many people backslide and start over something so trivial, but it grows over time. There's a lot of things beside mustard seed that can grow big. And so, when we look into the mirror of God's word, you'll see yourself purge it out. Whether it's an action, a feeling, or whatever it might be, you need to take care of it and take care of it quickly and do whatever you have to do. Now, how about when you see an area that you do not have yet acquired? It's not up to now, it's not really a part of your life. What are you going to do about that? I want to add to your faith virtue, patience, and on and on. See, there's always something that needs to be added on so that we can become more Christ-like. Amen. It's easy to call yourself a Christian. But you know what's wonderful is when people in the world that you associate with tell one another, that woman's a real Christian. That man is a real Christian. I've never heard him swear or tell a nasty joke. They start that, he just kind of eases off to the side and goes on about his business. If he tells you he's going to do something, he'll do it. He'll take care of it. You can trust this guy. Isn't that worth pursuing? That's a loud witness. That's a much louder witness than somebody that's always tackling folks. And bless God, you got to do this, that, and something else. And I'm not talking about witnessing. I'm talking about a few people that don't know how to use any tack. The only thing they know about tack is attack. And this can really turn people off. But an individual that lives a Christian life 24/7 is witnessing to a lot of folks. And when that person that's watching you someday is having a problem in their marriage, or their child is very sick and it's something that can't be cured, they just got to live with it the rest of their life, you know who they're going to come to and say, hey, would you mind praying for my little boy? If they're having problems in their marriage and it's breaking up, who are they going to come to and say, hey, would you pray for me? We're having problems in our marriage and I'm afraid we're going to break up. If you wouldn't mind, just say a prayer for me. And then, they're kind of bashful about it. But do you know why? Because they have confidence in you, because they see you not just talking about the word, but living the word. Living the word. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And everybody say amen. Amen. Okay, so, we got just a few minutes left here. And what I want to ask you, I want you to think and maybe a few things some of you could think about right now, which would be great. But somebody needs, if this starts happening. I need somebody to jot some notes down for me or something. Well, actually, if you've got the idea, I'm going to ask you to put it into a text or an email and send it to the church office, and Sister Sandy can gather them up for him. But any questions that you have about doctrine or teachings from the Word of the Lord on any subject, if there's things, maybe you've been in church for years and there's still some things that you don't understand very clearly, if you will be so kind as to pass that information on to us, and I will not divulge who ask it. You may be asking it for the sake of somebody else, but we will do our best to incorporate as much of this into our teaching as possible. Okay? Now, how many would agree with me that some questions that are asked probably carry more weight and need to be answered more quickly than another question? So I won't necessarily answer them in the order that I get them in, but I'll answer them in the order of what I feel like is most pressing at the time or the moment. So give that some thought. And in fact, if any of you have a question right now that you would like to float out here, just so we can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about. And you know, it may be a passage of scripture or whatever. But if it's something that I feel like will help all or most of us, we will cover that as soon as possible, as far as working it into what we're trying to accomplish. So is there anybody here that might have a question along one of these lines? Anyone? And I'll give you just a moment to contemplate and consider. Amen. Okay, I understand. How many of you will be thinking about that, and if something comes to your mind, you'll get it to us? Would you do that? Sure would appreciate it, because I don't want to be talking about things that you already know. You may know more about it than I do. Yes, sir, Brother Chris. Okay, why don't you put that down for us and put a little more information with it and find the reference and all and get it to us. I'd appreciate that. Anybody else? All right. Let's stand together. Oh, by the way, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. Praise God. All right, let's give thanks to the Lord for his word today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your strength. Thank you for the nearness of your presence. We ask you to go with us, to help us. Oh, God, I ask for your blessings to be upon your people. Especially, Lord, let your blessings be upon the mothers in Zion. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.